Good morning, good morning. Good morning. Are we excited to be in the house of Jesus this morning? Can we stand, those that can? And can we worship the Lord this morning? Before we do anything, can we just give our great God a shout this morning, a shout of praise? Not for anything he's done, but just because of who he is. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Listen, we're going to sing a song this morning that says, we take God at his word. We believe everything that the Bible says to be true. We believe that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, and that every promise he's made will come to pass. Does anybody believe that this morning? Oh no. Does anybody really believe that this morning? That you can take the Lord at his word? Amen.
Take you at your word. You said it, I starting, you're completing. Take you at your word.
Cause you're good on your promise. Yeah. You're good on your promise.
Jesus that said he'd never leave us. This is the Jesus who said he'd never forsake us. We take you at your word, Jesus. We believe you to be exactly who you say you are, God. We take you at every promise. God, we thank you for every sacrifice. You know, the Bible, in the book of Psalm, we see David throughout the book talking about how he's going to bless the Lord, how he's going to praise the Lord. In spite of situations, in spite of circumstances, this is still the same man who was declaring that he will bless the Lord. And I want us to take us back just a little bit, because this is also the same David who committed murder. This is also the same David who was an adulterer. This is also the same David who was serving a king that wanted to kill him. But despite his life circumstances, despite his past, despite whatever adversity he may have been carrying, he still chose to bless the Lord. And so, church, this morning, we just want to encourage you to still bless the Lord. Because here's the thing. One, he's not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he should repent. Therefore, he cannot go against his word, which means he cannot cause you harm. And so that's all the reason we should trust him. The second reason is our praise and our worship really confuses the enemy, because a lot of times the enemy feels that he's won. The enemy feels that he's overcome us just because our situation may not look beautiful, just because our situation is scary. But I encourage you this morning that as you continue to worship, as you continue to bless the Lord, you're confusing the very one trying to destroy you. So in this moment, with hands lifted all over this room, I encourage you to bless the Lord. Whatever that looks like for you, if that's singing your song to him, listen, it doesn't have to sound so immaculate. It doesn't have to sound so grandeur, but the Father receives your authentic worship.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, yeah. Worship his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Just because of what he's done, not just because of the blessings, not just because of the grace, not just because of the favor, but just because of who he is. And the reason that's so important, guys, is because when we worship the Father for who he truly is, it really exemplifies our actual love for him. There are moments where my mom and dad are hilarious, right? But there are moments where my dad will walk to my mom and he'll say, "Sweetie, I just love you." And my mom, sometimes she'll look around, she'll look a little confused, she'll think he wants something. But he just walks up to her and says, "Sweetie, I just love you. I just love you." And I think that's what happens when we build intimacy with our Father. Is that sometimes we just go to him and say, "Lord, I love you." Not because of what you've done, not because you did something great, though I appreciate it. God, in this moment, I just love you for you. I love you for being my Father. I love you for being my friend. So church, this morning, can we lift our hands? And let's give our God just a love offering, that we love him just for what he's done. We love him just for who he is. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever that looks like, I know it's uncomfortable, I know it's strange, but the Lord honors our obedience, he honors our faith moves, and sometimes worship in itself is a faith move. So we worship you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Honor you, God. And death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. I love this. You have no rival, and you have no equal. It's now and forever,
God, you reign.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory.
Yours is the name.
Sing, death could not
silence the
foe. The
hell.
forever.
Yours is the
key. Tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so since freedom is here, we might as well access it, right? Since freedom's here, we might as well get what we need. We might as well get what we came for. So continue to worship in whatever way that looks like for you. He's here. His Spirit is resting on us. He has no rival. No equal. It's now and forever. Our God will reign. 'Cause His is the kingdom, and His is the glory. His is the name above all names. I think somebody really needs to hear that, that God has no rival. That means cancer. God has no equal. Low self-esteem now and forever. Our God will reign. 'Cause His is the kingdom, His is the glory, yeah. His is the name above all names. One time. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. The beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Church, if you believe that this morning, can you offer up a worship to our God? Because He's beautiful. Because He's powerful, because He's healing. I'm trying to let it go faster, but He's transformative. He's a deliverer. He's a way maker. He's a provider. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all omnipotent. He's all omniscient. Everything that we stand in need of, our God provides. Everything we stand in need of, the Bible calls Him El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. So, Father, we thank You. God, we thank You for being more than enough. God, we thank You for being the beautiful name that You are. We thank You that as we speak Your name, demons tremble. We thank You that as we speak Your name, chains are broken. We thank You that as we speak Your name, lives are transformed. We thank You that as we speak the name of Jesus, everything, anything that we stand in need of, You provide. We thank You for being God. We ask You to bless our service this morning. Have Thine own way in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, if you believe that, can you clap your hands? Amen, amen, amen. You guys can be seated. And if you don't want to be seated, you can continue to worship. Listen, one of the really big important lessons that my father taught me, watching him and growing up in a pastor's home, is he told me that your worship never stops because someone grabs a microphone, because someone says something, because someone does something, because God has been too good. God has been too faithful. He's been too kind. And so I encourage you to never cease your worship until the Lord releases you from His presence. Amen. All right, y'all give me a second. Let me pull my life back together, because, you know, I get excited about Jesus. So let me put my, you know what? Real quick. So how many of you guys like wear prescribed glasses? Like, you need glasses to see. Okay, so listen, let's talk for a second, because I've learned that you guys get offended when those of us who don't need glasses wear them. And I would just like to say to you guys that I believe glasses make anybody look good, and they like make everybody look good. So, praise our Lord. I just think glasses are just that one thing that really does fit everybody. Like, that's the one accessory anybody can grab. But yeah, so on behalf of those of us with 2015 and the other decent eyesights, we apologize. We're going to talk about y'all to wear contacts, because that's strange, because poking your eye out, nah, no thank you, that's weird. But good morning. Listen, my name is Corey. My friends call me Corey, so you guys can call me Corey too. I get the privilege and the honor of serving as a youth director here. And on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy Phillips, we welcome you guys this morning to the Carpenter Shop International Church. Can we get excited? Yeah, this is home. And so, listen, for those of you in the room, for those of you watching us online, listen, there's a move of God in our area. There's a move of God in so many churches. But we are so honored and so humbled that you guys chose to come and worship with us this morning. Amen. And so listen, I know you guys see everybody walking around with the same shirt on, because they decided that we're going to dress like Corey today, because Corey puts a lot of work into trying to figure out what I'm going to put on. So when I walk in and see everybody in the same shirt, it's just like, okay, bet, whatever. No, I'm joking. But listen, we here at the Carpenter Shop believe in spreading the message of Jesus. And the shirt is simple. I love God. It's a conversation starter. I mean, they look good too, right? Don't we look good, y'all? Don't we? No? Okay. But listen, if you guys are interested in purchasing a shirt, there are some really cool young ladies. Kai, raise your hand. Kai Asia is right there. Brittany, raise your hand. See these lovely young ladies, if you're interested in purchasing a shirt, we just want to spread the message of Jesus. Is that okay? That's cool? Yeah? All right. I know y'all love when I'm up here because y'all know I'm going to talk y'all's head off, and it makes me smile. But the next part of our service is a part that we all can participate in. It's our giving. Amen. All right. So the saints love when it's time to get their money because y'all got real quiet real quick. So we're going to try that again. All right. So now this is a part of our service where everybody can participate in. This is a part of our giving. Yeah. Such fast learners, I tell you. But listen. This is the beauty of our giving. Did you guys know that our giving stretches far beyond these four walls? Did you guys know that our giving stretches far beyond this state? Our giving stretches far beyond this country. Because of your giving, because of our giving, we are partnering with ministries that are national, international, that are really trying to do the work of Jesus, that are being the hands and feet of Jesus all over the world. So listen, it's not just coming here. We're really reaching. We're really truly being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think that's why the Lord loves a cheerful giver, because there's so many things he gets to accomplish in the earth when we're cheerful about our giving. And so you can scan to give. We also have a few other options on the screen. In a second, I'm going to pray, and you guys are more than welcome to come to the altar and give your gifts. But just give with a cheerful heart. And listen, God honors your obedience. I don't know what the Lord has laid on your heart to sow. I don't know. I won't stand up here and pretend like I do, but I do know that he honors obedience. And we're obedient not because we have to be. We're obedient because we love him, yeah? So I'm going to pray, and then we can give our gifts. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to give. God, we thank you for laughter. Thank you that your home, your house, is the one place we can come and find joy. Father, I bless every family represented that is giving or that has the desire to give. Lord, you know the hearts of your people. You know the needs, the necessities of your people. I pray that you meet every need, that you meet every necessity. The Bible says that if we give, you'll give it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So God, I thank you for the abundance that is coming our way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can come with your gifts. The worship team is going to take us back into worship.
One desire. That's who we long for when we wake up in the morning, is Jesus. In the afternoon, in the evening, when we're saying our prayers, any battle that we're facing, we long for Jesus. He is our one desire. Is the one thing that will never fail you.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you are my one desire, my one desire, my one desire. Oh, Jesus Christ, you are my one desire, my one desire, my one desire.
Come on, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. The Bible says, His praise shall be continually in my mouth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Bible says what? The name of the Lord is to be praised. Come on, one time, give Him a great clap offering, would you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for leading us in the presence of God this morning. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble here. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to recognize that you alone are God. You have an amazing love for us. That John said you so loved that you gave your only son. And that whoever would believe in him, trust in him, should not perish, but have life everlasting. Lord, I pray for those that are watching today online. I pray for those that are assembled here that you would help us together, God, just to take a few moments to concentrate on your love, your total essence, God, your total purpose. Speak to our hearts today. Move our spirit today. Shape us, God, into vessels of honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for worshiping with us today. If you're online, just share it with a friend. I'm going to speak to you a message that we've simply entitled Love. It's the essence of God. The essence of God. Great to see some of the staff and the worship team and even some scattered about here that are making a proclamation with their shirt. I love God. Amen. I love God. Can I just tell you, you should be proclaiming that whether you got the shirt on or not. I'm just saying. But it's amazing that someone can be a catalyst, like someone like Kaiesia or Brittany, that can say, hey, let's do shirts. Amen. Let's do shirts. So if you want one, see them. It'll cost you twice as much as they did us. I'm just kidding. I love God. Psalmist said in Psalm 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. How many of you know that sometimes the meditations of your mind and your heart don't please God? Come on, I do. I experience that on a regular basis. I experience things that I think, you know, that's not good. I'll give you an example of one in just a moment. I can't wait. He's going to tell us one of his sins. No, I didn't sin. I almost did. Okay. But he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Okay. Be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. John 13:35 says that the characteristic of God's love in our lives is that you and I extend that love to other people. Man, that's so hard sometimes. Isn't that hard when you get in traffic? Isn't that hard when you get in a grocery store and you're trying to get out so you can get home because you're running late and you got to cook that meal for someone that you promised you would drop it off, maybe an errand of the church or something? And sometimes flesh just kicks in. I hate flesh, don't you? Flesh will just make a fool out of you if you let it, okay? But he says that by this, John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you're one of his, you're his disciple. And the justification of that is you have such an amazing love for one another. One of my dear friends in the Assemblies of God, you know, we're proponents of the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what? That you speak in other tongues. One of my friends said, well, I think the initial physical evidence is that you love people, okay? Okay, that's a good point. That's in there too. We call that what? The fruit of the Spirit, okay? So I can understand that. But Jesus says, you will brand yourself as one of mine if you have this amazing love for one another. And that's a challenge sometimes. I was in I was in McDonald's. This is my example here. I was at McDonald's, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I was getting my fix on. That's called an iced coffee, y'all. Okay, I know y'all were thinking Big Mac. Nah, I don't like their hamburgers. Okay, I like more than 2% beef in my hamburger. Come on, y'all. The USDA says they have to put at least 2% in the hamburger to call it beef, okay? Yeah, keep on eating them, okay? But I was in McDonald's, and this lady was losing her cool. I was just doing the normal thing. You know, McDonald's is not as normal as it used to be. I mean, you go in now, if you're not technological savvy, you ain't going to get a hamburger, okay? You go in there, and like, you go to get ready to go to the line, and all these big TVs are there, and you go in, you got to start it right there. Young people know all about this. But you got to have a little smart about you to get a hamburger, okay? If you really want a Happy Meal, you got to know how to get it. So you go there and you punch, you know, I did my thing, I punch, hey, iced coffee, you know, cream, how many Splendors you want, and all that. And in the purview of my eyesight, I just saw this and heard, also saw her but heard her, this lady was going off, okay? And she was just, you know, yak, yak, yak. She was just going off, and she added a few abrasive words and a few cuss words right here in a Husky. And yeah, somebody said, oh, yeah, I know. I've been there, okay? Yeah. Welcome to a Husky, right? Okay. So she's, you know, she recognized that I looked at her, okay? And I just turned to see, like, what's the fuss? You know, what's all the drama about? And I turned. And so then, you know what she chose to do? She escalated it a little bit. Like, she took it up like, yeah, I know I got a nasty attitude. I know I got a nasty attitude. And I don't know if she knows I'm the pastor at Carpenter Shop or what. And she was like, yeah, I know you know what you think. I know I got a nasty attitude. And I was just before looking her in the face and saying, yes, you do. When the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Aren't y'all glad for the Holy Ghost, y'all? Come on, I'm just thankful for the Holy Ghost. That said, keep your mouth shut and don't look at her. I said, but Lord, did you hear me? Yes, Lord. I got this spirit of intervention. I like to get involved in people's drama. I do. I like to just get in there and state my case, okay? But I didn't. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible talks to us about our mouth. In the book of James, chapter 3, verses 5 to 11, talks about our mouth. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, okay? But it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also, he's making an analogy here, comparison. The tongue also is a fire. I just see that wife just punched her husband in the side. See there, I told you, okay? Stop greeting me that way. The tongue also is a fire, a world, he goes on to descriptive language here, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself. James says the tongue itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and even sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. You ever been to SeaWorld? Come on, y'all. I mean, they can make those big fish do crazy things, okay? All these animals have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. Have you ever said to yourself, why didn't I just keep, come on, y'all help me here. Why didn't I just keep my, Keep my mouth shut. Open mouth, insert foot. That's right. So y'all sound like y'all got experience with this, okay? You know, we've been there, haven't we? He said, with the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth, verse number 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, he's talking to the church here. My brothers and sisters, this should not be, okay? I mean, have you ever got caught into act? I have. Where your attitude needed adjustment and you saw somebody from the church. It was like, you know, how can I make less of this than what it is, okay? Come on, y'all help me here. Have you ever been caught into act? Sure you have. You've been caught into act before. Maybe your attitude needed an adjustment. Well, James tells us that as children of God, the people of God, we should really be releasing God's character. That's, you know, whether we got the shirt on or not. I love God, you do. Let me see it by your actions. Let me see it by your deeds. Let me hear it in your vernacular. Let me hear it in your voice. Let me see it in your attitude. We should be releasing God's love from our lives, because love is literally the essence of God's care. You say, Pastor, you're dropping a word on me I'm not familiar with. We don't use essence a lot. What does it mean? Essence is the intrinsic, that internal, the intrinsic nature, the indispensable quality of something that which literally determines its character. God is love. And everything God has done and has ever done or ever will do shows that he has an intrinsic nature of what? Love. He loves. God loves people that I don't. Come on, that was weak, y'all. That was your chance. I said, God loves people that I don't. There's some people I don't like, but God loves them. Okay? And so God just releases this character. In fact, the Bible bears it out. 1 John 4:7-12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's easy to judge people. So easy, man. I was having a conversation with Pastor Joy this week, and we were talking about this very fact, about judgment. You know, I said, you know what, I hate to judge him. And, you know, I should have said, well, don't then. But isn't it easy to cast a judgment on someone? So easy. It comes what? Natural. It comes from the flesh. So the supernatural says that we don't judge them, but we rather pray for them. Okay? We pray for them. So easy to judge people. So easy to judge people. Verse 12 said, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, then God does what? He lives in us, and his love is made complete. You know, love has to be practiced. You have to choose. You have to make a conscious, willful decision to not judge a guy, to not judge a girl. You have a conscious, willful decision to not cast a judgment on him, because you don't know the story, you know? You don't know the story. I told you before, I've been in a hurry, gone into the grocery store, seen somebody in one of them carts. I had to push mine. And they're up there riding around the store, you know. And many times I have said, man, why don't you get a job? To myself, you know, angry. Like, you know, I'm large, but he's larger. I was like, why don't you get a job, you know? Why don't you work out or get rid of some weight, and maybe you wouldn't have to ride in that. What is that? That's a judgment. Guilty. Come on, y'all. Come on, anybody else going to join me and just be honest today? we're guilty. Or that person riding down the road, I've said it to you before, you get behind him and say, what's this little old lady would get out of the way? And you pass the little old lady who now is a man. It wasn't a woman. Okay, but because it was a bad driver, you determined in your mind that it had to be an older lady. Okay, so listen, God just wants us to just check ourselves, check our heart, check our motive. What do we have in? Because whatever we have in is what's coming out. So if by chance you are one of these people that is normal and these thoughts, these precepts come to your mind and you think like this or act like that or judge like that, then you know what you need to do? You need to love God more. You need to love God more. Because when you love God more, you will judge less. When you love God more, you will not categorize people. Okay? You won't. This is foundational in the Judeo-Christian belief system. Loving through God's love is foundational in the Judeo-Christian value system. God created humanity. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness moved upon the face of the deep. I'm in Genesis 1 now. And God created human beings. He made Adam. He made Eve. God created. And God creates humanity. Humanity has, you know, they interchange, have intercourse, have children. God multiplies humanity on the earth. Now we got a bunch of humans. And God gives us, how are these people going to manage? Because God gives instructions. God gives instructions on life. There's something that we have that literally is the governor, the guide, the policy manual to our lives. How do we respond to people? It's found in the Bible. The Bible is literally a story about how God created the heavens and the earth and humanity, and it is a reaction on humanity's response to God. That's the Bible. How humanity responded to the God who created him. That's the Bible. God creates, and how humans respond to the God who created them. And in that, you have God's instructions on how you and I are to live. God gave humanity the Torah, they say. T-O-R-A-H. What does that mean? The Torah is literally the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It is the first five books of the Bible. The Torah. The Hebrew Bible. It is literally what the Jewish people master. We were talking about it last night, Pastor Mike, how a 12-year-old boy, listen, a 12-year-old boy in Israel, after he completes Bar Mitzvah, I've been there when Bar Mitzvah's taking place, it's a celebration. Man, it's a top college graduation. It is an amazing part of a young man's life, because he has literally mastered the Torah. He knows the Torah. And they celebrate. And that young man is now qualified. Somebody say qualified. Qualified to marry. We're talking 12-year-old, y'all. Marry and own property, buy and sell land, because he, at 12 years old, is a man. I don't know about you, but I know some 20-year-olds that scare me to death in America. Okay? Let me just increase a little bit. I know some, well, no, I'm not going any further. Y'all just raise the numbers all you want to. I do. I know some people that scare me to death because they don't have the sense to get out of the rain. Okay? Don't hold a job. Don't work. Depend upon the government to take care of them. Lie, deceive, cheat, steal. And yet at 12 years old, when the Torah, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. They literally, man, go to Israel, you'll see it. They just get to Jerusalem, and they're just moving, and they're just walking around, and the Bible's in their hand. The Hebrew Bibles in their hand. They're just reciting it. You go to the Wailing Wall. Why are they there? They're there mourning the destruction of the temple, but they're also there to spend time in the Word, the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. It means, what does Torah mean? The Torah means teaching. The Torah means direction. The Torah means guidance. The Torah means instructions. God has given us instructions. Pastor Mike was telling me yesterday about a statement someone had made to him recently. And Pastor Mike's response to him was, well, show that to me. Come on, here we go. Show that to me in the instructions. Show that to me in the direction, the guidance. Show that to me in our policy manual as believers. If it's in there, then I concur with you. If not, then I don't believe it, okay? The Bible. God gave us the instructions. God gave us the manual. He gave us the manual for relationships. He gave us the manual for marriage. He gave us the manual for finance. He gave us the manual for every part of life that ever touches us. God has given us the instructions, the teaching, the direction, the guidance. And it's a foundational truth. And literally the foundational truth that really that hinges upon it all is what's called the Shema. And for the Jewish people, the Shema. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. The Shema. This is over here to your right-hand side. Is what we call a mezuzah. A mezuzah. You get them in Israel. Oh, beautiful ones. I've got an antique one. Beautiful mezuzahs. They're just about this tall, just maybe 4 or 5 inches. And the mezuzah is placed, this is a piece of, you can't see it, but this is a door. And right next to the trim on the door, the mezuzah is placed. And the mezuzah, if you were to take that off of the door, off of the molding, on the back side of it, it has a hollow side that inside of it, there's something printed up. How many of y'all ever got a fortune cookie? Come on, you open up the cookie and there's a little what? Little piece of paper. Inside of the mezuzah is a little piece of paper. And you know what is inside of it? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's the Shema. And I have one on my front door at my house. And I have one on the back door at my house. And the Jewish people, when they leave, they'll just kiss the mezuzah when they leave the house. Lord, as I step out of this house, help me to remember that you, O Lord, are my God. As I go to work today, help me to remember that you are my God. And that, Lord, I want to love you today. I make choices to love you with all my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. Just a reminder. Man, I love this passage of Scripture. I love the mezuzah. I love the Shema. I love Israel. I love all of that stuff. But help me, listen, I can't mention that without reading the rest of the Scriptures that follow it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 19. Check this out. These commandments... Now, that's the big commandment right there, okay? In the old covenant, that was large and in charge right there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And then in verse 6 to 19, he says this, these commandments that I give you today are to what? To be on your hearts. They're to be so much on your hearts that you are to what? Verse 7, impress them upon your children. Teach them. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Teach them when they're young. Teach them when they're little. Okay? Impress them on your children, it says in verse 7. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Talk about the things of God. This is an amazing principle. He says, verse number 8, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Put them on your chest, okay? Do what you have to do. Put them on display. Write them on the door frames of your houses. There we go. And on your gates. Make sure you got it where you come in and when you go out. That's a reminder that He's my God and I trust Him, and I choose to live for Him. It says in verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, when He does, He's going to, right? When He brings you into your promised land that He swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to give you, a land that's with large, flourishing cities which you didn't build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you didn't dig that are flowing with cool water, vineyards and olive groves that you didn't even plant. And when you eat and are satisfied, verse 12, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Well, the great sin of the Christian is that you forgot what Jesus did for you. The great sin of the people of the old covenant, they forgot the Lord who led them out of slavery and bondage into the promised land. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God and do what? Serve Him only and take your oaths in His name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who's among you, the reason why is because He's what? He's jealous. He's a jealous God. And His anger will burn against you, and He will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and the stipulations and the decrees He has given you. Do what is right. Do what is good in the Lord's sight so that it might go well with you. Matthew 6:33, the foundation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will take care of itself, right? He says, make sure you do this, do what is right, so that it will go well with you, and that you may go in, that you may take over the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, and the one that He's thrusting out all the enemies before you, just as He said. Put quite simply, God loves you enough to go before you, prepare the way, level the mountains, fill in the cracks in the valleys. He's able to cause you to walk on secure ground in your life as a believer. He's able to do it, but you got to do what? You got to put Him first. You got to put Him first. In desperation, I run into it all the time, people calling out for a God they do not serve. People, you know, in desperation, man, I'm in financial trouble. I think I'm going to start giving my tithe. Oh, it would have been a good thing if you'd have been doing that all along. Now you got interest stacked up. God's interest rate's higher than any bank you've ever borrowed from. Check it out in the Bible. He's worse than Beneficial Finance. OneMain, whatever those companies are. Time Finance. All those companies that are getting 20, 25% on money. God's interest is high. So He says, just do it first. Just give me 10. I'll take a tithe, the 10th portion. God loves you. I love God is something that should be messaged by everything about me. The way I handle my money, the way I handle people, the way I act in relationships, the way I respond to rules and regulations, policies and procedures that are an act of the land that I live in. Okay? The law says that you can't, then you can't. Why? Well, it ain't in the Bible. But your land that you live on, He wants you to honor the land that you live in. And if the speed limit's 55, oh, that's a bad subject to bring up. Y'all get it, don't you? Why is 55 not good enough? Because you want to go 65. I never will forget when Joshua moved to the West Coast. I had the first experience ever of going across the entire nation of the USA. From the east to the west.
From the east coast to the west coast.
Oh, excuse me, Corey. I got a little sidetracked there. From the east to the west. Okay. I'm too old to be doing that kind of stuff. Okay. But going from the east coast to the west coast, we passed through states, you know, my favorite of all was Montana. Have y'all ever seen Montana? Big Sky, oh my goodness. I think God was having a good day when He created the the state of Montana. I'm telling you, beautiful place. But as we travel beyond Montana, out there in the Midwest, we got, God is my witness, we got up to the highway, the expressway, the speed limit, 85 miles an hour. Okay, some of y'all say, where are you going on vacation? Going to the Midwest. No, don't do that. Because you won't go 85. You know what we did? 95. Why? Because if we didn't, folks were blowing the horn and giving us the ungodly peace sign, you know. Peace. No, not two fingers, one. We were out there going 100 miles an hour pulling a trailer. Does that make any sense? No. But we had to because we were shoo, 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 you know, crazy people. 90 miles an hour out there. 100 miles an hour out there. The nature of us is whatever the level is set at, we will go slightly beyond it. Okay? That's just human nature. And God has given us instructions. And he's given us instructions on how to handle our nature. You know, we have to take authority over every spirit that presents itself and exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. We have to cast down those imaginations. We have to deal with those principles in our life that present themselves. And you know what they do all the time? They present themselves to us. As a matter of fact, we've mastered it in America so much that we carry all of the principles around with us in our pocket. We've created ways to sin against God right in our pocket. And all you got to do is just, hey, you can one-hand it, man. Just scroll up, thumb, you know, face ID. You don't even have to sign in. Just takes a look at your iris and you're online. And when you hold one of these, you have a divine sense of responsibility to stay in your lane where you need to stay and don't go where you should not go, which is a problem in America today. It's a problem because people are always visiting places they have no business visiting. Because, see, we've been given the instructions, submitting ourselves to God. We say we what? We love God. Oh, you do? Then show me a life that portrays love for God. Okay? We don't, you know, we should not, as Christians, we should not drink. That was weak. I said, as Christians, we should. Well, I don't drink a lot. Okay? No, you shouldn't drink. As Christians, we should not smoke. I'm going to go a little farther here. As Christians, we should not vape. Ah, that was just an excuse to smoke. Well, I don't smoke anymore. Oh, you don't? Well, just look at what you're vaping then, okay? Look at the percentage of nicotine that your little fruit company has slid in there so that you'll go back and buy another bottle, okay? Oh, Pastor, please leave this stuff alone. I'm not leaving it alone. Why? Because it's truth. And what does truth do? Truth sets people free. Okay? I love God. You do? Bless your heart. I love God. I love God, and God has given me instructions. I don't follow them all, but at least I have them if I need them, you know? How many of you have ever bought a grill from Walmart, got it home, your wife says to you, this is bad for men, your wife says to you, don't you need these? No, I don't need that. And you get that thing almost together and something's not fitting right, and she's got 15 pieces of metal over here on the side. She said, you don't need this? He said, you got that book you had a moment ago? He's going to go back to it because he should have started with number one. Number one, open the box. Number two, pull out the content. You should have just followed the instructions. And the same is true in the Word of God. Just follow the instructions. He says in his word that you shouldn't be sleeping together if you're not married. Okay? There's a reason for that. Okay? There's just a reason for that. I mean, God has given us the Torah, the guidelines, the instructions, the principles. He's given us all of these things, okay? So that it would do what? So that it will go well with you. Remember reading that? So that it will go well. I love God is something that we should be able to see and to know because of your character, not your t-shirt. The New Testament bears this truth out as well. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees got together when they heard Jesus speaking here. They get together. One of them, the Bible says he was an expert in the law, the Torah, the first five books. He tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Matter of fact, this is a powerful statement, man. Matter of fact, he says, "All the law and the prophets, everything in my law," the Lord says, "and everything prophetic my guys had to say, hang on these two things." Everything. It's kind of like the condensed version of God's commandments, right? Just love him with everything in you. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. We'll talk about that next week. It's simple, my friends. God loves us. And God wants us because he's jealous for that love. God wants us to do what? Love him back. Love him in our thought processes. Love him in our behaviors. Love him in our mannerisms. Love him with everything about us. Love him enough to not cast a judgment on your brother. This is a test for me. I'm not going to kid you. Sometimes I get really short with people. Not to their face, but I get short with, as I look at him and say, "Man, what's he thinking?" You ever do that to people? "What's he thinking? What sense does that make?" And you get short with people. And the Lord knocked on my heart's door this week and said, "Hey, slack off. Don't judge him." You're right. You're right. Can't judge him. So I'm just telling you, you know what? You know what you get to hear? What I get to hear. You get to hear what I hear. Do you hear what I hear? Yeah. Not a Christmas song, right? You get to hear what the pastor is hearing God say to him as instruction, as reminders. So God's knocking on my heart's door. Listen, Wallace, don't be quick to judge people. I want you to love people. "Lord, I..." No. Stop defending yourself. Stop telling me what a good job you've done of loving people. Because the ones that you've loved, whether you know it or not, Wallace, you've loved them because you loved them with the love that I gave you, and you loved them through me. Okay? Or you wouldn't have a church that looks like a box of crayons. You're loving them through me. Okay? God is love. And God demonstrated his love by giving his son. And his son gave his life for you and for me. And we're going to express our gratitude to God by participating together as we come to a close today in the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. If you did not receive an element when you came in the building, please raise your hand and let someone give you one. Let someone serve you with one. Could we have some guys there, Hersey, some people? Just hold your hand, please, until someone serves you. Why don't you go ahead and sing a little bit of that song, which really, it's about making room for God in all aspects of our life. It's about, listen, I've just took you on a journey to remind you. Because the great sin of the children of Israel was what? They forgot. They forgot. He says, you don't need to forget. You just don't need to forget. Sometimes, Brittany, I behave like I forgot. I behave, Corey, like I forgot something God said about this. So I just need to be reminded. So make room for God to speak to your heart today. Make room for Him to say to you, hey, I'm talking to you about judgment as well, pre-judgment. I'm talking to you about your attitude. I'm talking to you about your phone. I'm talking to you today. Make room for God to move in your heart today. Let's sing a little bit of this and we'll come back to communion. Why don't you stand with me? Could you do that? Was going off. My first response was a fleshly one. I'm going to turn around. There's some of you yakking so much, cussing like that. The Holy Spirit said, don't do that. So I settled down for a moment, and when I left with my iced coffee, $1.99, when I left with my iced coffee, I smiled at her, and you know what I said? Have a great day. Just smile. Have a great day. Huh? Dispelled all of that attitude, dispelled all of that drama. Have a great day. Just smile. And then I never looked back. I can imagine what was going on. When I was walking away, big old white guy got in the truck and said, who's that? Oh, he's the pastor at Carpenter Shop. Yeah, there you go. He's a pastor at Carpenter Shop. Oh. But if just the seed was planted, Now, I wonder if she even thought about the way she behaved. Maybe she wished she hadn't have said what she said. I would tell you what she said, but I don't talk that way, okay? I don't talk that way. It's bad. Public. Little kids, older people, whole room full of people waiting for their orders just like me. She never stopped. So when I left, hey, have a great day. Smile. Real smile. Big smile. Have a good day. Because truthfully, you may not have used the same words that she's used, but I have acted the same way. I have. I've acted the same way. You may not have used the same nouns and verbs, but I've acted the same way. So the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves. This is examination time. And we're holding in our hand the elements of communion, the bread. Paul said, I received of the Lord that which I also was given, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He's in a what was supposed to be a Passover meal, reclining at the table with his disciples, facing his destiny fulfilled. He says, this is my body broken for you. And so I want you to know this morning that this is just a fresh reminder that Jesus gave his life on the cross for you, was broken for you and for me. And so, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Wash us clean. Bring us full circle, Lord, to a remembrance, because it was a great sin of the old covenant people that they would forget the principles of God. Lord, we're reminded today, so forgive us of our sins and help us, God, to just go at it in a better way tomorrow, next week, September, the rest of this year, into 24. Help us to go at it better than we have been. In Jesus' name, thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body, rather, that was broken for us. Partake together, would you? You can peel the next layer back. Beneath that layer is just a spot of juice, just a little juice. It's a fresh reminder that Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness. So what did it take for God to be satisfied? What did it take for God to see that sin is dealt with? It took blood that was shed. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they hid themselves, and the Lord comes walking to them, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. He says, well, Adam, where are you? It wasn't really about geographics. He was saying, where are you with the only rule I gave you, the only principle I gave you is don't eat from that tree. Because when you do, you'll die. And there was an awareness and a shame in it that Adam and Eve were naked. And so they hid, and they did the best they could. They just grabbed some fig leaves and tried to make an I love God shirt. Okay? It just didn't work. The Bible says the Lord God took an animal. And if he took an animal, that means he slayed that animal. If he slayed that animal, that means that animal's what? That animal's blood was shed. And he said, the only thing that will handle sin is my blood. Shed blood. That's why you have the cross in the church. It's a reminder. This is a place that believes that the only satisfaction for sin in our lives is the shed blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the blood shed for our sins. Wash us clean, God. Each and every day of our lives, help us not to forget your sacrifice. You so loved that you gave your son. In his name we pray, amen. You can partake of the juice together. It's good when you take communion to examine yourself. I don't know if you were paying attention or not, but I was examining myself right in front of you today. I shared with you things, behaviors, disappointments, things that I've encountered myself just this past week. Okay? Because as we live our lives on a daily basis, you will have an opportunity to respond negatively to people, because it's a very frustrating culture, very toxic society that we live in. So I bless you in Jesus' name. I thank you for being here today. Can we close out today with this? You can tell that people are on vacation because we have a few empty seats. And we are swiftly approaching that moment. In fact, one great Christian leader that I follow said, August the 20th is the big day. That's when attendance starts to take a slight curve upward again. Vacations are over. People are going back to school, okay? And that happens in these next few days. Educators, teachers, staff, personnel in the school systems, high school, college campuses, daycares, man, everywhere. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong. Lord, we just commit our educational process to you. Lord, I pray that you would even guard everything from what is being taught to those that are teaching it. Lord, bless our teachers. Give them a sense of purpose and value for why they signed up for such a task. Lord, let them bring your presence into the room. Let them set the standard for righteousness. Let them respond to students with agape love. Lord, I pray that you would just guard them. Lord, I speak peace and blessing, a hedge of divine protection against our Hertford County, Bertie County, Northampton County, Gates County schools. Lord, this Roanoke-Chowan area, would you set a hedge of divine protection? No bomb threats, no guns, no abuse, no violence, Lord. In the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we just thank you today, God, that you're able to place a shield of protection over our campuses. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. College kids getting ready to go to the campus, if you would you come down here? Man, what a field to have to go to. College kids, that's right. Come on, give them a hand, y'all. Wow. College kids going to school. You know, guys, you've heard me from this pulpit, Alyssa has. It was in my college years that I took a wrong turn. Remember the story? I was supposed to go right. I went left. I went the other way. And I knew when I turned. I knew where I was going, Corey. I knew it was wrong, but guess what? My mom and daddy ain't around here, okay? So they need your help. They need your help today to step out from that household. Now, Asia, is a huge deal because they're nowhere around, and now I'm the boss, okay? You know what? I'm 62-year-old, and I'm still not the boss, okay? I'm still not the boss. Who's the boss, y'all? He's the boss. He's given us the way. So could we have some people just to come and lay hands on these guys? I'm going to ask Pastor Joy to pray for them, pray a divine hedge of protection around them, and let's just believe God for an amazing year. Amen. Come on up here, bro. I just saw you go down in the baptism pool 2 weeks ago. I wasn't in the building, but I was watching you. Amen. Let's believe God for an amazing year in our schools. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord, we thank you for these teenagers. We thank you, Lord, for the years that they've been in our home and that we've been able to teach them and guide them and model before them your love and our commitment to you. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that you go with them, that you allow them, Lord, to have the strength and the courage to stand for you, to stand for their values, to stand for their morals, Lord, and to continue to live the word out in their walk. Lord, place people in their paths that will encourage them, that will uplift them, that will be that friend that reminds them, hey, everybody doesn't do this. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you would just prepare the way, place those people in their paths, encourage them through this year. And Lord, we ask that you just allow their families to not only continue to support them, Lord, but continue, Lord, to pray over them, to hold them accountable, and to allow them, Lord, to grow in you. We give you praise. We give you thanks, Lord, for Christian teenagers that are going into that campus, Lord. They're not just getting an education, but they're showing your love to other people. They're encouraging other people to stand for truth, to stand for your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joy. Listen, one thing Pastor Joy and I have done for years is adopt a student, okay? You see these kids right here? Let's stand there and stare at them, okay? All right, stare at them. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you say, you know what, I'm willing to do this, Pastor. What Pastor Joy and I have made it a habit for years. We have adopted a student at $50, okay? $50. And I remember over the years, Pastor Joy said, hey, do you mind if I send? No, I don't mind at all. Go for it. Adopt a student. Hey, I want to adopt you. Give me your address. Give me your phone number. And for a year, don't promise, you know, for the whole education. Just say, hey, for a year, I want to stand with you. And I want to pray for you. And I want to help you with some extra expenses. That's missions right there. That's missions. Y'all can handle that, couldn't you? Amen. Sure. $50? Come on. That's a big help for a college student. Yeah. Maybe you can look upon one of these perspectives and see them at the end of the service and say, hey, I want to support you in your academic year this year. Find out where they're going to school, what their name is, what their telephone number is, and just arrange somehow where you can drop $50. I'm asking you to do what I do. I already do this. I already do it. Been doing it for years. And you know what I believe I'm doing? I'm sowing seeds into the lives of my grandkids that they'll have academic scholarships, that people will stand with them, support them, and sow some seed into their lives. Come on, let's do that. Let's go out strong and find you a student. Find you a student before they leave the building today. Hey, I want to stand with you, and I want to help you. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves before you leave. Hallelujah.